companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya rasulullah as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya habibullah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noor Allah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the silsila, The Timeless Message. And mashallah, today we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding the people of taqwa. Yes, we are going to be discussing the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they displayed taqwa. And we are also going to be talking regarding what is taqwa and how we can implement that in our life as well, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me. For your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of loves and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Another beautiful day, TVs of Madani Channel, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to you and I to use this day, to take full advantage of this day by spending it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that being said, there's so many ways that you can make good use of your day by making good intentions. You are watching this program right now, you can make good intentions that you are watching this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are watching this to learn a knowledge of deen. And like that, the more intentions you make, the better for you. As the saying goes, the more the merrier. So always make good intentions, inshallah. And also not forgetting, as a reminder once again, to always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful to your fellow Muslims, to your family, to your children, to your parents. And by you doing that, you are following a very beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he has mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. That one who cannot show thanks to people cannot show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So gratitude, it takes a person a very long way in life, and a person finds success in this world as well as in the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, we are going to be discussing about taqwa, the people of taqwa. And by listening, by reading and learning their seerah, how they display taqwa, you and I will get an idea of what taqwa really is, how it should really be displayed. And when you do this, you would see how your life becomes so blissful. Because really, dear viewers of Madani Channel, taqwa is actually a treasure. Taqwa is a ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the hearts of whomever He wills. And we need to have taqwa. It is very, very important in our life for us to have taqwa. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, taqwa is something that prevents you from committing sins. Taqwa is that which takes you to the light. Taqwa is that which brings you out of darkness towards nur, towards light, towards guidance. As guidance is for those who have taqwa, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you may be going through different problems in life, difficulties of various forms, perhaps financial crisis, perhaps debt, perhaps marital issues, perhaps family disputes, perhaps disobedient children problems, and so much more. There is no one out there, devotees of Madan in general, who is not going through problems in their life, through difficulties in their life. And how do we come out of it? How do we navigate through this life, filled with ups and downs, with easiness, with difficulties, with hardship? And there is only one way. And that way is, the Quran tells you and I, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will create a way out for him from places, from sources where he could not have perceived, where he could not have imagined. So simply by you and I having taqwa. You know, when you fear something, right? As a small child, parents will tell you, don't go near the fire, it's hot. And you wouldn't go near the fire because you know it's hot, you can feel the heat of it. And you'll refrain from that. Don't jump off a cliff, otherwise you would die. Fear. Like that, why don't we have fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that if we commit sins, there is consequences to it. If we commit sins, there are punishments to that. So we need to really, really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a companion came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awsini. That, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please give me some advice. Please advise me. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him three pieces of advice, and two of which were as follows, that عَلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ جِمَاعُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. That taqwa is compulsory. Taqwa is mandatory upon you, as it compromises of all goodness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, وَعَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ. And it is compulsory upon you, imperative upon you, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without a doubt, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be light for you, will be noor for you. Allahu Akbar. I mean, look at how beautiful were the actions of the companions alayhim ridwan. These pure individuals would sit in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to advise them. And what is our condition today? What is the first thing we do when we meet a scholar or a high profile Islamic figure? We take a selfie instead. And it's mentioned in a hadith, Al-Hikmatu Dhalatul Mu'min, that wisdom is the lost treasure of a believer. I mean, have you ever seen someone who has lost a valuable possession take selfies with people? This does not happen. Someone who has lost his valuables will ask people for help and make announcements. If anyone has seen such and such item, please return it to the following address. This is what we'll do. Now consider this, that wisdom is the lost treasure of a believer. We must find opportunities to learn from those with wisdom. When such an opportunity arises, learn from their knowledge, from their ilm, and ask them for advice instead of taking selfies. That time that you have there, it's precious. It's not going to come every day. Use that time to ask for advice, for nasiha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave two pieces of advice to his companions. Number one was to adopt taqwa, because why? It is a collection of all goodness. The second was to perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will become light. This blessed hadith, it teaches us about the virtues of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that taqwa is a collection of every single form of goodness. Whoever is granted this treasure, subhanallah, that person has acquired all goodness. That is why Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, you should learn that taqwa is a rare treasure. If you succeed in attaining this treasure, you will be prosperous. Consider all goodness of this world and the hereafter to be in taqwa. Can you see now how imperative, how important taqwa is? It is a treasure, priceless. And scholars of Islam, they explain how the Quran mentions the virtues of the people of taqwa and gives them so many glad tidings for those who have taqwa. For example, Allah Ta'ala provides special help to the people of taqwa. They are honored in this world and in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala forgives their sins. Their sins are removed by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grants them ease. A person of taqwa is granted a lot of sustenance, a lot of risk. And the one who has taqwa, they are actually freed from grief and hardship. They will acquire salvation in the hereafter. They are granted the ability to perform ibadah, to perform worship. Allah Ta'ala protects them from sins. Yes, and they are successful in achieving their goals. Allah Ta'ala grants them a high station in Jannah. And they are successful in achieving a high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, don't we want a high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course we do. Don't we want to be provided with a lot of risk? Of course we do. Don't we want for grief and troubles and difficulties to be away from us? Of course we do. But to achieve that and to attain all of this, you and I, we need to have taqwa, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only then that a person would be successful. You know, a murid once asked his sheikh that, oh my sheikh, give me some advice. His sheikh said that, I will tell you what Allah Ta'ala advised all mankind, those before us and after us, in which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And we have indeed emphasized to those who received the books before you and to you that remain fearful of Allah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, think this over. Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the universe. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful to His people. And Allah Ta'ala advised them to fear Him. Now, if there was something that provided more goodness and more benefit, Allah Ta'ala would have definitely emphasized that instead. However, Allah Ta'ala advised the previous and forthcoming nations to adopt taqwa. And from this we learn that taqwa is the greatest quality a person can possess. That's why Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never pleased by anything from this world. Nobody pleased him except for a person of taqwa. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, nowadays we think that a person who is handsome, who is beautiful, they are the best. A person who is wealthy, we think they are the best. A person who lives in a fancy house, a person who drives the fanciest of cars, wears the best of clothing, has a good voice, comes from a good lineage, we think they are the best. You know, and if we see a person who is dark in color, who is not well off, who is faqir, needy, poor, etc., we think them to be very lowly. We don't give them no regard. We think as if they have no honor. All right, and this actually goes for each and every one, you know, because people have formed their own ideologies to perceive someone as honored. Now, if they have a good bank balance, if they have so and so luxury of the world, then we're going to respect that person. We're going to hold him high. We're going to, you know, admire him. We're going to take him as our role model. We people today have become so materialistic, devotees of Madani Channel, that we have set the wrong criteria. We have set the wrong foundation for seeing who is the most honored among us, for seeing who is the most respectable among us, who is, you know, worthy of that respect. We have laid, people have laid the wrong foundation for it. And when we turn to the Holy Quran, that who is that person who is most honored, who should be most respected? You see, the Holy Quran informs you and I, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that indeed the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah, is the one who is most pious amongst you. From this verse, subhanallah, we learn how lineage is not the basis of excellence in the court of Allah. It is taqwa which earns a person this. Nothing else. Your money don't matter. Your good looks don't matter. Your good clothes don't matter. Your good house don't matter. Your good car don't matter. What matters, according to Allah, is a person's taqwa. Every Muslim should refrain from boasting about their lineage and adopt taqwa instead. This will grant you honor, devotees of Madani Channel. This will grant you virtue in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed many, many virtues in taqwa. Like taqwa, it is the root of every goodness. Every pious elder, from earlier or later times, all advised others of taqwa. The people of taqwa are those the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more pleased with. And piety is the true basis of honor. Now, for these reasons, we too, you and I, we must strive to attain and adopt this great treasure, taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, and listen to this attentively. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تزودوا فإن خير الزات التقوى. And take provision along with you, that the best provision is piety. This ayah, this verse, commands us to take provisions with us whenever we travel. And the greatest provision is what? Is taqwa. The most important journey is the one to the hereafter. And the true provision for us in this endeavor is taqwa. That is why Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he writes that someone's relative passed away. And after the deceased was buried, the person had a couplet written upon the relative's grave. And that couplet was, لَيْسَ زَادَ سِوَ التَّقَى فَخُذِي مِنْهُ أَوْ دُعِي. The only provision for this journey is taqwa. It is your choice whether you adopt it or not. Now understand this, devotees of Madani Channel, that we are actually on a journey. You and I, we are travelers. Yes, we are on a journey from this world, from this dunya, to the hereafter. When you go out on a journey, for example, in this materialistic world, when you go on a journey, what do you take with you? You take those things which are important, which are necessary. You take your clothes, you take extra clothes, you take food, you take water. Right? You take the essentials, the basic necessities that you need with you. And you take these so that you can survive. And you can, it'll make it easier for you to reach your place of destination. To reach the mode of transport is acquired, that also a source of provision. Now, like that, you and I, we are travelers to the hereafter. And we need provisions for that. What is our provisions? That is taqwa. Taqwa is the best provision that you and I can take, because everything falls under it. Doing good deeds falls under it. Abstaining from sins falls under it. Repenting, making tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls under it. Everything falls under taqwa. Taqwa is the head. Taqwa is the root of all goodness. So yes, we need to take taqwa as our provision for the hereafter, so that you and I may reach our place of destination safely. Otherwise, if we don't reach our place of destination safely, then we are going to be in so much of trouble, so much of dangers we are going to go through. Why? Because our provisions were less. We didn't pack properly. What happens when you go on a journey and you didn't pack properly? You're running short of food, you're running short of water, you're running short of fuel. You become stressed out. You don't know what to do. Now imagine, journeying from here to the hereafter, how much more preparations you and I have to do and how much more provisions you and I have to take. We can't fall short. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble. And that is why the best provision for the journey to the hereafter is taqwa, to adopt taqwa. As Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned the couplet, that it is your choice whether you want to take it or you want to leave it. But the wise person, the intelligent person, is he who will take it, because that will help him to reach his destination, that will help him to gain salvation, not only in the hereafter, but also in this world and in the qabr as well. So, divas of Madinah Shara, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the treasure of taqwa to each and every one of us. Now, how does one go about attaining taqwa? And we have to read through the seerah. We have to read the lives of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person will not become pious until he refrains from doing something in which there is no sin, for fear of falling into something in which there is sin. Now, what this means is, in other words, a person refraining from performing a permissible action out of fear of falling into an impermissible act. The action of refraining from that which is permissible in order to protect oneself from sin is a quality of the people of taqwa. Nobody can become pious without this. You need this. And now I would share with you how you and I can attain taqwa, right? After listening to this very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us look at how our pious predecessors implemented this beautiful hadith. You know, Imam Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he was a great, great imam of his time. And Allah Ta'ala granted him expertise in interpreting dreams. Imam Qushayri, rahimahullah, he writes that Imam Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, had 40 canisters of ghee. And his servant told him of how a dead mouse was found in one of them. But he could not remember in which canister it was in. Now, there was a doubt. 39 of the 40 canisters were pure, but they were unsure about which one was impure. And you know what Imam Ibn Sirin rahimahullah did? Due to this, he did not use any of the 40 canisters at all. Now, why did he not use them? It's because, حَضْرًا لِمَا بِهِ الْبَأْسِ, out of fear of engaging in something impermissible. It could lead him to using the canister in which there was a dead mouse. Now, this is one of the qualities of the people of taqwa. These individuals fear Allah so much, immensely. And due to this fear, they do not even go anywhere near sin. They will not even do something permissible if this potentially may lead to sin in the future. Let's look at Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah. He is renowned for his piety, for his taqwa. And he and his murids, they once stopped during a journey to rest. During this time, Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, he washed his shirt. His murids said that, "Ya Sheikh, why don't you hang your shirt on this wall so that it may dry?" He said, "No, we have not sought permission from whom this wall belongs to." So the murids then said, "Okay, shall we hang it from the branch of this tree?" And Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, he said, "No again." He said, "Birds sit upon the branches of trees. We cannot take their place of sitting from them." Then the murids asked, "Okay, we shall lay it down on the grass." And again, Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, he said, "No, the grass is food for animals. We cannot hide this from them." And in the end, do you know what he did? Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, he placed his shirt on his stomach and sat in the sunlight. This allowed his shirt to dry. Allahu Akbar. This is taqwa, dear viewers of Madinah Insurance. Think about what you have just heard. The righteous people of Allah were extremely cautious in what they did. They because they were worried that they shouldn't fall into sin. And we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala make us from the people of taqwa. When we read more and more into their lives, we will find ourselves embarrassed at our own lack of restraint. You know, their level of caution when it came to sin is a completely new concept for many of us. For example, social media. Social media is used openly by everyone without a second thought. Whether a person is young, whether old, people open apps, social media platforms, and spend huge amounts of time there. So much of time goes into it. And this is despite the fact that social media contains very many dangers which can lead one to sin. And it's highly uncommon for one to be able to use social media freely without fear of sin, such as looking at haram or something similar. Now, this, of course, it does not mean it is prohibited to use social media correctly. Facebook, WhatsApp, YouTube, and other social media platforms can be used for good. Taqwa is to only use them as much as necessity requires. Otherwise, it's better to avoid social media completely because it poses a risk, a lot of risk of falling into sin. Now, another commonly seen example is looking in every direction when one is out and about. In our time, this can be extremely troublesome because streets can have large billboards displaying uncovered women. In fact, some screens show video advertisements of this nature as well. So in and of itself, looking around and walking with a raised head is permissible, meaning it's not a sin, but there is a risk of falling into sin. Taqwa is to walk with a lowered head, and this is also sunnah. Subhanallah. You know, the Mufti of Da'wat Islami, Mufti Muhammad Farooq Attari, rahmatullah alayhi, he was very passionate, so passionate about protecting his sight, protecting his gaze. He owned a motorcycle. And you know what he did? He sold it because he could not keep his eyes lowered whilst riding it. And he felt the danger of looking at something impermissible may arise. This is taqwa, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us also this bounty, this ni'mah. Now, some of you may listen to this and think that, you know what, it's difficult to become pious, difficult to have taqwa. It can be difficult, but it is also easy. And Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah explains that there is nothing easier than having taqwa. Simply abandon that which causes your heart misgiving. In other words, if you are uncertain about the permissibility of inaction, then abandon it, leave it. Even if there is no risk of falling into sin by performing it, do not carry out that action until you have sought guidance from scholars. And Imam Sha'arani, rahimahullah, he once said that, so beautifully he mentioned that, it is from the character of the pious servants of Allah that they do not perform an action until they find a direct command about it from the Quran, Sunnah or Sharia. Imagine if only we too could adopt this beautiful habit. We should not perform any actions until we receive the go-ahead from Sharia. Even better would be to keep Darul Iftah, Ahlul Sunnah's number with you and contact them immediately whenever you have any query or any doubt. And inshallah, you would be helped. Yes, we have to query, we have to ask if you do not know something. Sayyidina Ali, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, has once very, very beautifully said that taqwa is a collection of four things. He says, Al-khawfu min al-jaleel, the fear of Allah, number one. Number two, Al-amalu bit-tanzeel, acting upon the Quran. Number three, Al-qana'atu bil-qaleel, being content with the little. Number four, Al-isti'adadu liyawmi al-raheel, continuing to prepare for the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we see the four is Al-khawfu min al-jaleel, Al-amalu bit-tanzeel, Al-qana'atu bil-qaleel, Al-isti'adadu liyawmi al-raheel. And whichever fortunate person has these four attributes will become pious. Now let's go through each one of them and let us dive into it. Let us understand it. Number one was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a restraint which prevents one from committing sins. If it's removed from the heart, one will have no remorse in committing sins. And for this reason, the fear of Allah is a necessary attribute for the people of taqwa. It's mentioned that Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he once asked Yazid Raqashi, rahimahullah, for some advice. So Yazid Raqashi, rahimahullah, he said that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, death has reached many leaders who came before you. Hearing this, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he began to cry. He asked for more advice. Yazid al-Qashi, rahimahullah, he then said that all your forefathers, leading all the way back to Sayyidina Adam, alayhi salam, have passed away. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, asked for advice for a third time. And Yazid al-Qashi, rahimahullah, he responded that there is no place of abode between Jannah or Jahannam. And finally, hearing these words, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he was overwhelmed by the fear of Allah Ta'ala and he fell down unconscious. Allahu Akbar, what unique fear of Allah this is. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he was a caliph, was a khalifa. He had power of governance and authority, the authority afforded to a leader. Normally, people become corrupted by such things, causing them to engage in sin. Yet before and after becoming Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, was a man of taqwa. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, not an oppressor, and he did not infringe the rights of people. He did not infringe upon the rights of people. In fact, he established justice and fairness in the land. Why did he do this, one may ask? This is because his heart was brimful of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This should actually motivate us and it should encourage us. I may be wondering, how can I acquire the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, in order to attain taqwa and save ourselves from sin, acquiring the fear of Allah is an extremely important undertaking. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the bounty of fearing Him. Now, in order to gain the fear of Allah, make a habit of reciting the Quran, especially verses which mention hell, punishments, and the day of Qiyamah. Read the translation and commentary of these ayat. Keep them in your mind and recite them over and over. Even in salah, recite them, contemplate over them, ponder over it. Read the hadith which mention fearing Allah. Read books which discuss this topic. Read about our pious elders who possessed this quality. Visit the graveyard on a daily basis, or at least once a week. Recite Fatiha. Focus on how you will be in your grave one day. Contemplate over the matters of the grave. Think that that person is there, and tomorrow will be your turn. Tomorrow will be my turn. Tomorrow will be our turn. We don't know when we're going to pass away. So when we go to the graveyard, this is what we need to do, to contemplate. And this will instill the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. So this is very, very important. The second is, from the four qualities of the people of taqwa, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, Al-amalu bit-tanzeel, acting upon the Quran. Now, this is another significant quality. There are many people today who give the impression of being pious and honorable. In reality, they are totally ignorant. Understanding and acting upon the Quran is a very far matter, very distant matter. These people are unable to even recite it correctly. They are ignorant about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and offer nothing but misguidance to people. And Sayyidina Junaid al-Baghdadi rahimahullah, he explains that our book, the Holy Quran, is the most superior of all. Our Sharia is the clearest of all, and our way is tied to the Quran and Sunnah. It is incorrect to follow those who do not know the Quran, nor memorize and comprehend Hadith. You know, Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah, he says, an old man with many followers came to him. He was extremely ignorant, yet he spoke of matters regarding spirituality, regarding tasawwuf, etc., and he proceeded to misguide people. So Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah asked him that what are the obligatory actions of wudu and salah? And this old man, he said that I don't know of Sharia's outward dimensions. I have no knowledge of it. So Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah told him that you will not perform worship correctly until you have knowledge of the Quran and Hadith. He who does not understand the difference between wajib, mustahab, makruh, and haram is ignorant. How can it be correct to follow such a person? Upon hearing what Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah said, that man, he could not reply, and he left alongside those he came with. So the views of Pandit in general, the reality is, if we do not know how to perform wudu, if we do not know how to perform offer salah, if we do not know how about the issues of purity and impurity, if we don't know what Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do, if we don't know what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us from doing, if we don't know which actions will take us to paradise, if we don't know which actions will lead us to Jahannam, if we don't know how shaitan attacks us, and how to save ourselves, how could we ever possibly save ourselves from sin? If we cannot save ourselves from sin, then will we ever become people of taqwa? In and of itself, taqwa is that which saves one from sin. For anyone looking to be a person of taqwa, it's necessary for them to learn Islamic knowledge, learn how to recite the Holy Quran, understand it, read hadith, learn the sunnah, and learn fard knowledge. Along with all of this, one must also practically implement what they know. Even if you don't know how to recite the Holy Quran, it's never too late. For as long as you are breathing, there is still time. For as long as you are breathing, you still have time to learn how to recite the Holy Quran. Whether you are a minor, whether you are an adult, knowledge never stops. There is no need to shy away from knowledge. So this is something that we must take into consideration to learn how to recite the Holy Quran and to act upon the teachings of the Holy Quran. And the third quality was, in what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned, is al-qana'atu bil-qaleel, being content with little. And the meaning of qana'ah, being content with destiny. This quality is also vital in attaining taqwa. Whoever does not possess qana'ah will find it difficult to refrain from sin, because there are many which occur simply due to greed, such as bribery, interest, attaining wealth through impermissible means, the wealth and belongings of orphans being usurped, family members killing one another. So those who are not content with what is given to them by Allah will find it difficult to refrain from sin. If sins are not avoided, how can one adopt taqwa? You know, Sayyidina Muhammad bin Wasi, rahimahullah, he would eat bread with salt and vinegar. And he said that he who is satisfied with this much of the world will not be humiliated and disgraced in front of people. And Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah, he once said that in our time, whoever is not content with just barley bread will fall into disgrace. So a man once asked, can I accumulate wealth? And he replied that there are five harms of accumulating wealth. Hopes and aspirations increase, right? Accumulating wealth increases greed. Accumulating wealth can lead to being miserly. Gathering wealth leads to negligence of the hereafter. One of the greatest downfalls is it also reduces piety. So it's bad to just accumulate and hoard. We need to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there are virtues of being content. A content person, beloved to Allah, contentment leads to the pleasure of Allah. It brings ease in the qabr and the hereafter. And it is an action that leads to Jannah. And the fourth quality that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned was al-isti'adadu liyawm al-rahil, preparing for the day one leaves this world. And in the Holy Quran is mentioned, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and fear that day in which you shall return to Allah. We do a lot of things in this world. We earn degrees, we work, start businesses, etc. We eat from our hard work, make plans for the future, we buy large houses and so much more. But the question is, have we prepared for the day we must leave all this behind and enter our dark graves? That will indeed be a day we are totally helpless. Allahu Akbar. So it's important that we prepare for the hereafter. Sayyidina Sari Saqati rahimahullah, he lived to the age of 98 years old. Nobody saw him laying down except for when he was on his deathbed, as he was always busy in worship. And we see also Muhammad Jurayri rahimahullah, he lived in Makkah for 1 year. He did not sleep, rest, or stretch his legs during his stay. After offering Fajr Salah, he performed the dhikr of Allah until Dhuhr. After Dhuhr Salah, he engaged in the dhikr of Allah again until Asr. And like so, he would make dhikr all day long. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he would offer Fajr Salah with the wudu of Isha for 40 years. And he would recite the entire Quran every night in two rak'at of salah. These the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who spend every moment performing good deeds. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability as well to do so. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. For now, dear viewers of Madani channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this melodious kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much further inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulullah,
Oh,
کچھ تم جسے چاہو اس کا تو بیان ہی نہیں کچھ تم جسے چاہو
حبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. I'm sure that you have enjoyed this kalam, and I'm sure that it has increased the love for Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in our hearts. الحمدللہ رب العالمین. Now coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the people of taqwa, and thus far we have mentioned the four qualities of the people of taqwa as narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And moving forward, we see that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed a commander over an army, he would counsel him in particular about adopting taqwa and being good towards Muslims. And he also counseled Muslims about taqwa in his final sermons. And the companions alayhim ridwan also advised Muslims to adopt the same. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam told his beloved son Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam that the taqwa of a believer manifests in three matters. Number one, having complete trust, reliance regarding that which he did not receive. Number two, being content with what he has. And number three, firm patience concerning that which was taken from him. Subhanallah, these deeds of Madani Channel are the three signs of taqwa, as said by Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. You know, Muslims who adopt taqwa, Allah Ta'ala places blessings in their actions, and they become well-wishers for all, for everyone. As a pious Muslim seeks to please Allah Ta'ala and does not seek praise, his words are more beneficial than those of normal people. That is why a person by the name of Abu Sa'id al-Balkhi, rahimahullah, was asked that, why do the words of pious predecessors have more effectiveness than those after them? And he replied, he said something so beautiful. He said that they desired for Islam to be shown honor, people to attain salvation, their brothers to be shown compassion, and for Allah to be pleased. We desire personal honor. We desire people's praise and worldly well-being. Allahu Akbar. That is why a person who has taqwa, when they say something, it has an impact. It has an effect. You may say the same thing, but it would not have any impact. It would not have any effect, because on one side you have taqwa, and on the other, there is no taqwa. So it's important that we adopt taqwa, the use of Madinjan. It brings you a success. You know, despite being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, our pious predecessors would still fear Allah. When a storm began, Ata rahimahullah, he would cry and he would say, this is due to me. Creation would be trialed by this. If Ata were to die, creation would be safe from this. And crying profusely, he would say, perhaps I would be dragged to Jahannam first, yet I am heedless. If a community is not heedless of Allah and knows He is watching them, imagine how much preservation would be afforded to their rights. I mean, contemplate the immense serenity and peace they shall experience. Reflect over the fine manner in which they would fulfill their obligations. So let us make a promise to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid disobeying Him, regardless of the condition that we are in. Insha'Allah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.